Hey, listeners, it's KJ here, asking for a favor. Have you reviewed hashtag AmWriting in your pod player yet? Would you? I know, you're driving or running or cooking or whatever you do while listening, and we are there for that. But if you love us and could take a minute to hit that five-star button and toss in a comment, we'd appreciate it. Oh, and if you don't love us, carry on with what you're doing. In fact, we hear the review button isn't working right now. Don't check.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay.
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. Try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Hi, I'm Serena Bowen, and this is Hashtag AmWriting, the weekly podcast about writing all the things. Short things, long things, pitches, proposals, fiction, and nonfiction. In short, this is the podcast about sitting down and getting the work done. I'm solo this week, so I'm just going to keep rolling right along. I'm Serena Bowen, the author of over 30 romance novels. My newest one is called The New Guy, and it's available wherever books are sold. And today, I'm going to talk about a very popular concept, which is part of my life, which is how do you write a novel in 3 months? So I'm going to go over what it means to me to write a novel in 3 months, when I'm capable of writing a novel in 3 months, and also how I do that as a practical matter. So first of all, I am not here to tell you that every novel ever written could have been written in 3 months, because that is simply not true. A novel that is a good candidate for writing in 3 months is one that has a simple structure. For example, it takes place in one time period. It takes place in a rather chronological order. You're not constantly needing to flash back and forth between time periods. It's not a magnum opus epic, you know, spanning the lives of 6 generations. Complexity is the enemy of writing a novel quickly, as it should be. What helps me when I need to write a novel in 3 months, and I've done so, you know, fairly often, is that I'm writing in a world that I already know, either because it is close to me personally. I've lived in this place, I've worked in this job, you know, it's things that I really am writing from experience, or because it's part of a series and I've written these people before. I know many of these characters, I know this setting, it's familiar to me. That's another thing that helps me go fast. And finally, another thing that's important is that the book requires little research. Not no research, because every book requires some research, but if I were writing something about a job or a character that was really far outside of my experience. Like, I just read this great book called The Astronaut and the Star, and the author had done lots of research about what it's like to train at NASA. So that book had to have taken her a pretty long time, because that's specialized knowledge and she needed a lot of it. And not every book demands that of you. So again, choose your projects carefully. The next thing to consider is how cold this idea is to you. In other words, I can only write a novel in 3 months if I've been thinking about it for a while. And that means I have a lot of notebooks in my life with ideas that are under development. I haven't actually written any words to any chapters. I haven't written any dialogue, but I have scribblings about who are the characters, what is the point of this book, what do these characters want. And I've been percolating on those things, marinating in those ideas for quite some time. So I would like to frame my experience here today around a book that I have coming out now. It's called The New Guy, and the pub date is Feb 28. And I wrote it last year, of course, but I wrote it inside of 3 months. But I had been thinking about that guy for quite a while, and that character first showed up a couple books ago in one of my series, and this is a bit of a spin-off book because I've done things a little bit differently with him, but he'd been there and on the page and in my mind for a little while, and I began to sketch out his major character conflicts on the sly over time just to see if there was enough there. So I decided that there was. The character's name is Hudson Newgate, but everybody calls him the new guy. And that was just a quick way to refer to him to so that the reader could see him on the page. But it began to make me think, well, what would it be like to be the new guy? What if you're always the new guy? And that's how I arrived at his big character conflict, which is that he's a hockey player who's been traded more often than anybody ever should. And he has scars because of that. He's never good enough. They always pass him along to the next team. What's wrong with me? You know, sort of a wound that I wanted to explore for him. So I wasn't coming to his problems cold. And that meant I could spend time in my notebook thinking about, well, what's the opposite of that? Who is his match? Like, what does that person look like? How are they the perfect solution to what ails him? And, you know, and what if that guy's also a new guy, but he doesn't wear it like that? And so I had done a lot of mental work on this book way, way before I sat down to write about it. That was turned out to be very important. So let's go over a short list of things that you should know about your novel before you sit down to write it in 3 months. Do you know these characters? And I just told you a long story about how I did know these characters and how I gave myself permission to sort of noodle around with their deepest fears and desires and what did they want. Do you know the crisis point of the story? And I would say that if you have the characters, like you kind of know them in your head, and you have the crisis point, you are well on your way to this being a book that you can make progress on quickly. Because those two things, the characters and their plot and how those two things interact, is really the nuts and bolts. Like if you've got both of those things and you feel really strongly about them, then that project is something that you are going to be able to move on. Do you know what you want the reader to feel? I guess that's question number 3. Where in this book are you going to make the reader cry? Where in this book are you going to make the reader laugh? You don't need to know exactly how that happens, but you should have sort of a gut feeling for how those emotions are going to unfold on the page. That's part of knowing their commitment together. And I don't mean in a romantic way. I just mean how your characters interact with each other, how their troubles in life mirror their internal struggles. If you have a good grip on that and you know what the crisis point is, then it's like you'll see the mountain in the distance and maybe you don't know exactly the path that you're going to reach it, but you've got a lot more clarity than many novelists do. And 4th, do you know how this book sounds? So what I mean by that is, are you going to write in first person? Are you going to write in alternating first person? Is it in third person? How many voices are going to be in the book? How many do you need? And that, of course, will have a lot to do with what kind of book it is and what genre you're writing in and what your goals are there. But if you're not sure how the book sounds, that's something that's going to take some time to resolve. Because if you get it wrong and you crash on through the bushes, you know, writing in a voice or tense or style that turns out not to be right for that story, that's going to require some real time to fix. So if I were starting on a project and I didn't know how the book was supposed to sound, that would give me pause and I would sure dive in and try to figure it out. But that would not be a signal that I was ready to knock out major amounts of drafting in the next 90 days. So that's something where you might have to sit down and fiddle, like write a scene in one voice, write a scene in another voice, try to work that out a little bit, explore your dark moment maybe in one of those voices or another, just so you can figure that out ahead of time. By the way, switching a book from third person to first person or from past tense to present tense sounds really easy, but turns out to be one of the most grueling things I've ever done. And I've had to do it a few times now, so hoping never to do that again. So that's really a thing that I try to get right on the first try because ouch. So now that you've asked yourself all of these valuable questions about, are you ready to write this book in a faster drafting mode? We're almost ready to dive right in. Let's pause for a moment and come back and do that.
Listeners, there's honestly nothing I love more than a good writing retreat, especially one that comes with solid coaching and the chance to meet other writers who are working on similar projects. This fall, three Author Accelerator certified book coaches are offering what sounds like a dream retreat if what you're working on is telling your own story. It's called Mainly Memoir, and it's a retreat for women writers in historic Biddeford, Maine. Mainly Memoir will provide 3 days in the gorgeous Maine woods in September, with one-on-one coaching both before, during, and after the retreat. It is the perfect opportunity to give yourself the gift of time and focus so that you can make real progress on your memoir this year. Mainly Memoir will be held from September 21st through 24th, 2023. A scholarship is available for a memoirist from a community that has been traditionally underrepresented in publishing. Learn more at mainlymemoir.com, and as you've probably guessed, mainly is spelled M-A-I-N-E-L-Y. So that's Maine the State, mainlymemoir.com.
Okay, troops, let's dive into the actual writing. Now, I did a little math about how long it really takes to write a novel, and I type 95 words per minute. And that means that in theory, I could write an 80,000 word novel in 842 minutes, which is also just over 14 hours. So clearly I'm never writing a novel in just over 14 hours, but it's not the typing that holds me back, right? So what that means is that my brain moves slower than my fingers by a giant margin. And whenever we think about how to write faster, what we mean is how to think faster, how to think more clearly about what's happening next in the book, and how to solve problems more efficiently, because that's really what the job of writing a novel really is it's problem solving in the most intense way. So, for diving in to start, we're ready and we put down chapter one and we establish one of our characters or maybe even a couple. What are we problem solving next and how is that going and how can you speed up that process? So I have several tips for you on how to do things in a way that's efficient so our brains don't get as tired. The first tip is to keep a Bible. And that means when I name a character, if it's the bartender or the doorman or anybody that I might see again in the book, which is almost everybody, I write it down. The doorman's name is Miguel. The bartender's name is Pete. And then when I'm cooking along, I can just quickly look that up again. Or if I'm wondering who the character is going to talk to when they kind of lose it a little bit at the end of the book, I have a list of people that I've already introduced, and sometimes I get ideas from that, like, oh, he should tell his sister. Anyway, so keep a Bible. Every time you name somebody or a street or what apartment number they live in or any vital bit of information, it goes right there on the Bible. Tip number two is then sometimes when I'm writing fast, I decide I'm going too fast to even look at the Bible, and I use TK a lot. So capital T, capital K is a magazine editing thing. It means to come. Title, to come. So TK is useful in a document because there aren't any English words that contain TK. So if you go back and you search for TK when you're done, you're not going to pull up every instance you typed TH or something like that. And so therefore you can put stuff off and not feel bad about it. It's like, oh, I'm coming back to that. I'm going to look up this little fact about hockey that I've forgotten, but TK, fact TK. And that allows you to not stop every time that you come to something that you don't know. If it's a little thing and it's not going to affect the next thing you write, just move on. When you're tired one day, you can fix all those TKs instead of doing the actual labor of the book. And that's going to keep you on track, because not wandering off is like the success key here. Every time we get anxious about how the chapter's going or whether this is just a waste of time. You know, it's so tempting to get up and wander off, or it's so tempting to go open a window on your computer and do some more research because it's easier than writing the chapter. So TK is a way to say, hey brain, don't do that. We're still here. Tip number three is to write down all of your characters' transitions on a sheet of paper with a line down the center of it. So on the left side, you put where they are when they start the book, and on the right side, you put where they're going to end up. And for a main character, you should have a whole bunch of these things, like she was a librarian, but now she's running the universe, or she was afraid to love, and now she's not afraid to love. And each of your main characters deserves several of these transitions that they're going to make from page one to the final chapter. So if you don't know, if you can't list a bunch of those transitions, then there's still things you don't know about that character, but that's okay because you're going to keep a running tab. So I try to fill that out for my characters ahead of time. And when there's a character that I don't know what that transition is, what that character arc looks like, then I know to watch for it because that's something I'm going to have to figure out before I'm done. And it's like a sign that there's some more work that needs to happen there and I'm not going to miss that. Then, as I'm going, I use tip number five, which is pacemaker.press, which is a little piece of software. And I pay for the paid version, but there's a free version that I used to use. And Pacemaker, you could do this on a spreadsheet too if you're handy with Excel, but it takes the number of words that you have to write and it divides by the number of days, and you can put in the days that you're not going to be able to work on the book. So I put in my start date and I put in my deadline, and then I add in like, oh, I'm going on a trip. Yeah, I'm definitely not writing on those 3 days. So I put all that math in, and then Pacemaker spits out every single day how many words I have to write. And I only will plan a project if that number is 1,200 words or less. Like 1,200 is kind of a maximum for me. It's better if I'm working on a book and I only need to write 1,000 words a day, because the truth is I'm capable of writing more than 1,000 words, but not every day counts the same. I might take 4 days off in the middle just to reread the book that I've written so far. This happens on every project. Once I get 40,000 words in, I have to print it out and read the whole thing and figure out what I've done right and, you know, just cogitate on it some more. So, yeah, pacemaker.press keeps me on track. And when you update it every day, it's very satisfying to see that graph build itself out. And it also recalculates for you so that if you have a really big writing day or you have a day when nothing happens, then it'll show you what you've done to your total and where you are. And it's peace of mind, basically. So tip number five then is another thing I do every single day, which is called pre-writing. And recently I tried to figure out where KJ and I got this word, pre-writing, and I could not find it. I think the first time I saw anybody write about this process was in the book 2K to 10K by Rachel Aaron. But then when I went back into that book, I don't think she even calls it pre-writing, but it's definitely a big part of my life. And what I mean by it is, so everybody thinks of writing as one job. You sit down and you write, but it's really two jobs. The first job is, what are we writing? And the second job is, how pretty are the sentences? And those things are not the same job. So writing pretty sentences takes time and attention. So if you don't know what's happening in the scene and you spend a lot of time writing pretty sentences and then it turns out that those are the wrong pretty sentences because you're doing the scene incorrectly, that is a time sink. So this morning, I knew I was going to write for a different book a scene where a guy goes to fill in for his brother as a bartender. And while I was showering, because that's where all the best thought happens, I pictured him going to the place and who else is going to be there and what's he going to do and how's that going to work. And then he sees this other guy. And I'm just sort of flipping through it in my head as a scene so I know what's happening. Now, sometimes in fact, often I do this on paper and I do it in some, it could literally be the back of an envelope or inside of a notebook or just like, and this happens and that happens and this happens and that happens. And KJ says she likes to write dialogue in her pre-writing, and I do that too sometimes. So it's just really crucial to shape the scene before you go in and try to make all the dialogue snappy. It saves me tons of time. And it's a thing that I especially love to do when I get stuck. So, of course I get stuck. Everybody gets stuck. I get stuck just as many times when I'm writing a book in 3 months as I do when I'm writing a book in a year. So I feel like now is the perfect time to talk about what happens when you get stuck. So what does stuck mean? Stuck means you're on chapter 16. You know where the book is going eventually. You know a bunch of things about your characters and you just wrote something really funny. And then you flip to the next chapter and you don't know how to start. You don't know where the scene takes place and you don't know how you're getting to that next thing you already know. And it's really disconcerting because, hey, you're good at this now and you know a lot about this book and darn it, what the hell? What's going to happen in chapter 16? So this happens and I have some suggestions. One thing I like to do is I have this app on my phone called Otter AI. And Otter AI is a recording app, and it also transcribes into text. And it's meant for meetings, so it doesn't shut off all the time, like if you were just using the little voice prompt on your phone. So what I do is I turn on Otter AI, and I go for a walk. And then I talk to myself. And I live out in the country, so nobody thinks this is weird. But hey, people will just think you're on your phone. So I just walk down the street and I say, okay, so what's supposed to happen next is this, but I can't do that yet because we don't know this other thing. And then, so how am I going to get, oh yeah. And you just talk it out. And so I could just say a bunch of babble into my phone and my phone is listening the whole time until I land on the solution. And then sometimes I'm so excited that I have landed on the solution that I just keep talking. And what I am saying into the microphone becomes the pre-writing for that chapter that I was previously stuck on. And that's the genius of having it transcribed into text, because there are moments when I will go home and I will let Otter do its thing. It takes a little while to transcribe for me, especially on the free plan. And I'll wait, and then I will copy and paste sections of it into my Scrivener file, or maybe even into the document itself if I've done some good dialogue, so that time is not wasted. I've made great leaps forward in books like this. And it's really fun, too. You're like, wow, look at me, I'm so smart. I went for a walk, and now I know chapter 16. Okay, so another thing to do is to make another human discuss it with you. That human could be your 17-year-old son, who's trapped in the car with you on the way to an activity. Or it could be your husband, who always suggests that a giant squid attacks, which makes no sense, but thanks, honey. I recently went to an event in Houston called the Romance Author Mastermind, and it was full of smart people, one of whom was Becca Syme, who does a great podcast on YouTube only called The Quit Cast. And her book is also called Dear Author, You Need to Quit, which is not, I promise, telling authors to all quit writing. And she did a short little thing about what to do if you get stuck. And talking to people was one of her things too. And she said, because if you're a verbal processor, then this kind of getting stuck is just part of your process. And I kind of already knew that about myself, but I never heard anybody say it out loud, like, hey, you're a verbal processor and getting stuck is part of your fun. So that was really, really inspiring. And I encourage you to go look up some other stuff that Becca Syme has said, because she's so smart. And then finally, I have another trick, which is that sometimes I skip ahead and I write the thing that I know is happening. So this can be a little bit messy, and I actually just did this last week too. I felt really bogged down about the exposition at the beginning of the book I'm working on now. I have a lot of backstory. These people have history, but I didn't just want to sit there and prattle all of that history out onto the page because that would be boring reading, and I was just weighed down. So instead of letting it get to me, I skipped ahead to a funny scene that I'd already thought of in my head about, you know, these two people babysitting a baby who wouldn't go to sleep. And I wrote that scene about them and the baby, and it gave me some real positive momentum, and it reminded me why I like this story and why I like these people and what they're up against. And then the part that was bogging me down got easier because, first of all, I found a way to get a little bit of it into this funny scene, and it's effortless there. It's just joyful. And then it also just gave me the positive moving forward vibes that I was so lacking. So sometimes when you jump forward to the thing you know and you write it, then you're going to end up changing it later. Maybe it's in the wrong person's point of view or whatever, but sometimes it just can't be helped, and it's a super valuable thing. And even if you do have to make some changes, you'll keep the best lines or something. So that's my other what to do if you get stuck tip. So writers, I hope you have enjoyed my how to write a book in 3 months chat. I promise you it's possible. I wouldn't say you could do it on your first book because some of this stuff does get easier. You figure out the rhythm of your novel. It took me a while to be able to move a little faster. I think the fastest I've ever really drafted a book is 60 days, but that pace feels really, really hard to me. And I've only ever done it with like a terrific outline. The first book I ever did this for was called Hard Hitter, and it was a book that Penguin published, and in my contract with Penguin, I was required to write an outline for books 2 and 3 by a certain date, so I had done so. And then I looked at that outline, and it was really robust. So because I had done a lot of the heavy lifting ahead of time, I was able to write that thing in 60 days, but I don't recommend it as a lifestyle choice. So yeah, I do write fast sometimes. I do usually enjoy it. But the final third is always the hard part. Like, finishing a project is so much harder than starting one. And at least it's, to me, mentally more draining. The weird thing is that I can write the last 10,000 words of a novel at a very fast pace because, of course, I've made a lot of decisions. But it's somehow still stressful anyway, because I'm trying to figure out if I've made all the right decisions, and I haven't done that big reread yet where I've, you know, figure out that I have. So, you know, it's not uniformly fun. There are pinch points and pain points along the way, and I just hope you are able to learn your own pattern for these things and make it all count. If you would like to chat with us about book writing or article writing, the best place to do that is the Am Writing Podcast Facebook group. I hope to see you there. And hopefully I will have written another 7,000 words by the time you hear from me again. Until then, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The hashtag Am Writing Podcast is produced by Andrew Perilla. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
All freelancers. On March 9th and 10th, 2023, the Institute for Independent Journalists is offering an online freelance journalism conference with 12 information-packed interactive sessions on everything from pitching, negotiations, and contracts to podcasting and developing new revenue streams. Speakers will include editors for The Atlantic, The Guardian, The New York Times, Wired, The Verge, The Emancipator, and more. Registration is a complete bargain at $69 for 12 live interactive sessions, delivering 15 hours of learning. For more information and to register, see theiij.com. That's theiij.com, which stands, of course, for The Institute for Independent Journalists. All sessions will be recorded and available to view for 1 month after the conference.